Welcome to the 44th episode, I'm sorry, the 45th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida, training for marathons and Ironmans here lately. I just finished a 15-mile run this morning. It was a little nicer here in Florida. We're expecting Erica in a couple of days, so the temperature was in the low 70s when I started, which was a plus. Said 100% humidity, but it wasn't raining, so I'm not sure how that works. I'm not a weatherman, but nevertheless, it was somewhat humid, and it was in the 80s by the time I finished, but overall, I felt good, so I was happy. My first marathon for this marathon season is in 3 weeks in Morgantown, West Virginia. It'll be the first marathon in Morgantown. I grew up there, and I'm so excited. It'll be my daughter's first marathon. She's run several half marathons with me, and so it'll be fun to go up there and run with her and my boyfriend, and there'll be family, and my mom's going to go up, so it'll be a great finish line, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of excitement that I'll report on later. There always seems to be. I took up running marathons. I think my first one was in 1999. So my daughter's 23, so she was small at that time. And we started out in Rome, Italy, and then we went to Paris, Chicago. And, you know, I kind of did the scene with the big ones. And a few years later, she was a senior in high school, and some friends and myself went to Dublin, Ireland to run a marathon. And she was standing with friends on the sidelines, and they were doing some touring while the marathon was going on in, and then they came to the finish line. And the one friend made the comment that he said he's never been to Europe when there was a marathon going on. And my daughter said, I've never been to Europe when there wasn't a marathon going on. So, you know, it's nice that, you know, she's been drugged to all these different running events, and there's been some perks along the way for her, you know, the trips to Europe and whatever. And she's been a great sport. She did cross country and track, and, you know, of course, now you've heard she was a Division I athlete in rowing. So, you know, the endurance bug has rubbed off on her, but she's been training for this marathon. And last week we did a long run, and we kind of talked to each other as we were running and doing our long run. So it's quite fun. It'll be a fun marathon to do together. It also runs by the house that I grew up in, so that'll be kind of nostalgic. And it ends at the Coliseum, the West Virginia University Coliseum, and you run up this hill that I've traveled, you know, millions of times growing up. So it'll be so nice to come to a finish line and, you know, what was home for so many years. So I can't wait. I'm also training for an Ironman that'll be 3 or 4 weeks after that. So it's been swim, bike, run quite a bit. Wednesday morning I got up and it was for a bike ride and on the trainer, and I got on the trainer, and I was actually on there 17 minutes trying to talk myself into it, and I couldn't. And I got off the trainer and actually went back to bed for 40 minutes. And, you know, sometimes you just have to listen to your body. I was tired. I'd probably not as hydrated I should have been. I had Monday and Tuesday were, I had a hard weekend before training, and Monday and Tuesday were long days. And, you know, after that 40 minutes of nap, I felt up. I felt great. And yeah, actually that evening I completed, I did an hour on the trainer. So I got some activity in and felt good about it. But sometimes you just have to listen to your body, and you're tired, you're tired. You know, the first thing that always comes up, is my nutrition off? Am I getting enough nutrients? Am I getting enough calories? Am I getting enough of, you know, the big P word, the protein? But I don't think any of that was it. I was just plain old tired of life and doing things. And again, once I kind of got that extra 40 minutes, I was raring to go. So I don't worry about, you know, I eat when I'm hungry, and I try to eat nutritious foods. Today after my 15-mile run, I had a smoothie, and my smoothie had collards and black cherries and blueberries and banana and some almond milk that I make and ice water, and some flaxseed and hemp seeds. I've been making my own almond milk, lately, and I like it a lot better. It's pretty easy. You just soak the almonds, you know, about 8 hours, you know, so whether it's overnight or during the day, and then make them and then put them in the blender with water. And that, lasts for, you know, 3 or 4 days, and then, you know, repeat the process. And it just, it's more creamier, and it, you know, there's no other additives in it. So I like it. And, you know, I only use it for either some smoothies or to put on oatmeal. So it's not like, you know, I guess in cooking a little bit, but even then we don't use a whole lot of milk to cook with. So that was my post run. And then they also had a little bit of oatmeal and blueberries again, just kind of as a second breakfast. But, you know, it's just a matter of hydrating now and probably get some fruit in. Been really enjoying watermelon and cantaloupe down here post run, just a good way to hydrate as well. I found that if I do a smoothie in the evening, usually some sort of melon and, berries and, maybe a banana, that is really hydrating and really tops off my tank for the workout the next morning. So I've been liking one with a cantaloupe and banana, and I also like one with watermelon and cherries. That's just really tasty. So had to take a short break there. Samantha, the German Shepherd Rescue, was welcoming somebody onto our street. You may hear a little barking in the background from time to time. My co-host Samantha, the German Shepherd Rescue, and Tiger, the senior German Shepherd on the premises, may be welcoming people. Vinny is down here and beside me. He's Vinny the cat, is in charge of quality control. But when I started this, he did not remind me that I did not have my mic turned on. So the first 15 minutes went me talking into air to them only, I guess. So anyway, so Vinny needs to step up his game a little bit to remind me what to do. You know, so back to, you know, the hydration and things, I've really enjoyed the smoothies, and it seems like that just gives me enough calories to top off for the next morning. I don't have an interview this week, so I thought I'd talk about some interesting things that happened in my office. I've had some emails that people like to hear what goes on. I had the pleasure of meeting a 76-year-old woman that is a Kona Ironman qualifier. And for those of you not into triathlon, you have to qualify to get to the world champion Ironman Kona that you see on TV every fall. And she qualified in Florida, and she's done several Kona world championships in the past. And so it was a great pleasure to meet her. She didn't take up triathlon until she was 61. She had run 5Ks and 10Ks before that, and had some injuries, and asked her doctor what she should do. And her doctor said maybe she should, you know, do some other things like swimming or biking. So she decided to do all three. So she's been very successful. She's very humble about her approach. Just, you know, an average day in the office to train 20 hours a week as a 76-year-old. So it's pretty amazing. I think it goes back to no one should sell themselves short. There was a 76-year-old 100-mile ultra Western States finisher this year, and the cutoff time, which is just under 30 hours. You know, here she is doing her, you know, fifth or sixth Kona Ironman at 76, and, you know, there's no end in sight. And I think we need to push ourselves, and it's never too you're never too old to start something. You know, whether it's walking, yoga, dance, or running even, you know, get out there and start, because it only is going to help you. My mother just walked in the door. She just, at 83, shot a 37 on her local golf course. So, you know, I have to put her into that category too, that, you know, she's golfing three times a week and she's doing Zumba, you know, and she feels great. And, of course, she's eating a plant-based diet. So that's, I think, you know, that helps. This lady is vegetarian. I think I've convinced her to take the next step and become vegan. But, you know, she's doing quite well. And, you know, and she takes turmeric if she gets some joint issues, or not really joint, but muscle fatigue or aches. And she really, you know, doesn't have any orthopedic issues at all, despite having broken a leg being hit by a bike. So she's doing excellent. So I think that's a great motivation, you know, and I hope she motivated people in my office, and I hope she, you know, motivates people listening to this. On another note, I had two patients that were less than 45 years of age that were morbidly obese in my office. And they shared being very confused about what to do about this the situation. Neither one of them wanted to be overweight. I don't think anybody does. I think it's becomes a point of people don't know what to do. They're overwhelmed. There's not a lot of support, but it's just that there's so many confusing things out there. People don't know what to try. People tend to be looking for a quick fix. So I kind of like to dedicate the rest of this podcast to things along those lines on why is a plant-based diet different? It's not the quick fix of a Nutrisystem or Weight Watchers. And it is different, and it's a big commitment, but I think because it's a big commitment, that is why it's so effective. And besides the biochemistry of it and the nutrient density of it, but I think that the sustainability of it is because it is so different that when you commit to this, then you do much, much better. I have to diverge just a little bit. I was walking into swim practice on Friday, and, at 5:30 in the morning, it's usually a grunt good morning to different people, but there's not much discussion. But one of the ladies asked me if I knew about the nutrition program that the YMCA is offering for pre-diabetics. And I was short with her, and I apologize. I asked if it was plant-based, and she said, no, it's not. And I was like, well, then it really is not going to make a whole lot of difference. She said, oh, yes, it does. She said, they lost 7% of their body weight, and, their numbers get better. And it's like, well, so after the swim, we talked a little bit more, and I, was kind of came around. I wasn't quite so, quick and snapping. So I asked her about what actually it was, and she said, well, it's a course to help people change what they're eating, make better food choices, and to exercise. Well, if you're already at the YMCA, you've already committed to exercise, so you got one step in the right direction, which, again, goes back to, if you got to move. What we know about societies that live a long time is that they move and they walk and they're out among things, So getting to the YMCA is certainly a step in the right direction. Well, 1 hour a day, 2 hours a day fix you? No. But it's certainly a step in the right direction. If you change your behavior a little bit, you're going to lose weight and you exercise. But just decreasing the amount of the same foods that you're eating is not going to work in the long run, because nobody ever, you may control it for a while, but you're never going to, you're always going to fall back into that, that path, because you've never really eliminated any bad foods. You've made some better choices, but it just won't last in the long run. And, again, it's not a nutrient. If the old way is not working, just less of it is not going to help you become healthy in the long run. So I really think, the bar was set too low. Again, because disease still progresses. If you're eating poorly but just less of it, you're not helping to improve your overall body health. So it comes back to, what are the benefits of a plant-based diet and what the steps. And first, I think, is identifying that there's a problem. And I don't think, from the people I've seen in my office, the people that I, observe and watch, I don't think anybody wants to be morbidly obese. I don't think that they're happy, even when you see the advertisements of, and you see people say in interviews that I'm happy with my body, and I'm happier now that I'm not trying to diet all the time, and I'm a big person, and I'm big boned. I think that's all feeble attempts to help make them feel less bad. And certainly you have to be you have to like yourself to want to help yourself, but I think you shouldn't sell yourself short. I don't think that's the answer. I think that's kind of putting your head in the sand. I know they're trying to get rid of blame, and I don't think the blame is the issue. I think that there's just a huge confusion out there. You have all these places, tempting you, the Chili's, and I saw people post on Facebook this week that there was all excited. There's a Cheddar's coming to town. you know, and it's going to be right by the Longhorn Steakhouse. And I was just like, I was like grabbing my head in pain. You know, the person posting was, you know, terribly overweight, and they're all excited about another place to go eat that's really going to make them sick. You know, that, and then, you know, advertisements on TV where, you know, they are advertising the fast foods and, you know, the easy ways to get things done, you know, the fast food, you know, healthy fast foods. You know, there isn't such a thing. You know, I don't think people have a good concept of nutrition. If they go to the doctor, the best thing that the doctor will tell them was, you know, to decrease their calories, exercise, burn more calories than you take in. Well, if you don't understand what's in the food and the dense in the nutrition of the food, how are you going to choose the foods correctly? You know, there's so many hidden fats. For instance, you know, someone posted on Facebook a new vegan frozen pizza. You know, I won't put the name on it. Well, the pizza has very few vegetables. They're, you know, just scattered among a top of bread full of oil, full of salt, full of preservatives, you know, but it's marketed as being vegan. So it's like, well, this must be okay. Well, it's not okay. It's calorically dense and nutrition and nutrient very much poor. You know, the same thing with, you know, a lot of the treats and breads and everything else that's out there. This 35-year-old had been actually seen in the hospital for constipation. You know, at 35, you know, constipation should never be an issue. And we looked at the diet and like one day history of what was taken in, and I really couldn't come up with more than 5 grams of fiber in her whole daily dietary consumption. And it's like, no wonder people are sick. No wonder they have such poor colon health. 4 grams of fiber. And she was trying desperately to watch what she eat. And she thought that she was doing a calorically controlling things, eating more of a high protein diet. And it's like there was no nutrients, no fruit, no fiber. It was crazy. You know, even when it comes down, you know, as physicians, we ignore what our hospital patients are fed. I posted, you know, on my website a picture of a person who had a carotid endarterectomy, which is basically the cleaning out of the carotid artery that goes to the brain. And the first meal that they had after surgery was eggs and sausage biscuit gravy and in sausage. It's like, you know, take it out and put it in. But the same thing was served in the doctor's lounge that day, and doctors were eating. And I sit there in the doctor's lounge, and I watch people come in, and they kind of make a, you know, it's like a buffet out there, and they circle it a couple times, and on one side is eggs and sausage and bacon and grits and gravy, and there's a little thing of really overcooked oatmeal. And the other side, there's like these two little containers that I could literally eat the both of them that have enough, that have a little bit of fruit in them. And of course, there's some boiled eggs. And, you know, then people, and of course, then there's Fruit Loops and those kind of cereals. You know, but you see these, you know, the doctors sit there and eat this stuff too, or they pick at it, or they take it to go. It's crazy. So, well, how are they going to tell their patients to eat more healthy if they don't? And then if the patients don't hear it from their doctors, and if their doctors eat that way, then it must be okay. So it's just this vicious cycle of, you know, how are we going to help people if we don't give them nutrients? You know, I've even witnessed a physician eating pork chop and mac and cheese in the doctor's lounge who actually, you know, he was not healthy. So, you know, I mean, if you know, and again, the doctors are in, they've got procedures, their office is busy, they're trying to get food quick, they don't have, you know, they don't take the time to bring food, and there's really no place to go out, you know, to go get food, so they end up eating this terrible food that's in the doctor's lounge. You know, as physicians, we've never identified the first step that there is a problem with our nutrition, and that nutrition plays a role in disease. It's completely pushed under the carpet. A cancer doctor, obese, you know, trying to work out at the YMCA, you know, eating poorly still. You know, are cancer doctors so confident in the chemotherapy that they feel like they can cure themselves so they don't have to take care of themselves. I also see, you know, the other problem is being the life hacks, you know, how to make things easier. It's like we're so much busier now today than we were 40 years ago that we need all these life hacks to help us, whether it's things in a box, you know, things that are microwavable, processed food, food from a window, or different ways that, you know, you can get by doing things. I think that that is a big problem and when it comes to nutrition. The reality of it is, if you're going to make plant-based nutrition work, you need to cook. There's very little out there that's already made or a place where you can get it that's going to be healthy. Sure, if you live in New York City or you live in California, you know, there are some good places that you can go and get, you know, healthy and nutrient-dense food. But for the most part, you know, especially chain restaurants, things are cooked in oil, things are cooked in butter, things are high in salt, things are high in fat, because that's what sells. And it's going to be very difficult. There's going to be additives. Nobody, you're not in control of your own environment. You know, even if you, you know, if you want to have pizza, make your own. You know, when I make a pizza crust, I'm in control of what kind of flour goes into the crust. I'm in control of the amount of, you know, if I use any oil, I usually use a tablespoon for two crusts, two large pizzas. You know, I'm in charge of the toppings. It's loaded with spinach and mushrooms and peppers. I'm in charge of what kind of food those are, the organic produce. I'm in charge of the sauce that I use. It doesn't have any oil. You know, the tomatoes that I use, where they came from. You know, so my pizza's nutrient dense. You know, yeah, it's a pizza, but it's basically, you know, a thin piece of, you know, bread that crust that has a lot of nutrient dense vegetables on it. As opposed to when you go out, you know, I mean, you can see the spaces between. You can see the oil on a pizza. You know, you can taste the oil in the crust. You know, those frozen box pizzas, they are oily. You can taste it. You know, look at the package afterwards. Look at the boxes of these things. They're greasy. You know, when you clean things up, see the grease. It's there. You know, you've absorbed it. So, you know, you just have to make the commitment that you want to change, and the change starts in your own kitchen, and you're in control of your food. I think that is probably the most important thing to getting a hold of your health is being in charge of your health. One of the things I do in my office, and I'm sure I've mentioned it before, is I ask people, I start with, what did you have for dinner last night? And a lot of times I'll try to do a quick dietary history, you know, of what they had in the last several days. Because often when I ask them what they had for dinner last night, they'll say, oh, well, that's not what I usually eat. But I want them to go through with it, and I'm not judgmental, and I encourage them to give me as detailed description as they possibly can. But over 50% of the time, people can't remember what they had for dinner the night before. And they really have to struggle and think about it. And then when I ask them, you know, a little bit further, it's like, well, they ate in front of the TV, or they, you know, they just ate quick. They just grabbed something. And the ironic part about that is they're so worried about changing their diet that they don't want to have to give up anything. Yet what they're eating didn't, you know, they can't even remember what they eat. So how important was it? How tasty was it if you can't even remember what it was? When I cook something in my kitchen, when I buy the vegetables, and I think about what I'm going to do to prepare the dish, and I make it, and we sit down, and we enjoy the flavors, and we go over, you know, could I make this better? You know, what would be a different way to do it? You know, you remember what you ate. You know, I can go back and, you know, a lot of times I'll do a post about what I had to eat, and I can remember in detail how I made it and what was in it and what it tasted like and maybe what I would do different if it's something new. But if you just grab something out of a box, you have no clue about what you're getting or what you're eating. I was in the nurse's stations, and again, in my last post, I talked about being in the hospital and what I see as far as food there. But the one technician said, oh, Dr. Delaney, you would be so proud of me. I've got an egg white omelet. And it's like, really, Mary? And she opened the container, and it was a yellow omelet with cheese coming out, and I, you know, I think little pieces of ham, and there was some pepper sticking out. And I was like, well, why is it orange? I don't know. And of course, her friend had picked it up for her. And she's like, oh, they were out of egg white omelets. I got you a regular one. But she didn't pay any attention to it. She was just going to woof it down. And she did woof it down and eat it, you know, while she was working without paying any attention to it. Just, you know, assuming that she did better. And that was it. But, you know, again, no control of what, you know, she was taking in. I watched a CNN reporter talking about a segment that Sanjay Gupta, who is a correspondent for them, and he's a neurosurgeon, you know, had done regarding President Clinton becoming vegan. And they talked about, you know, well, it will never work because, you know, most people are just not going to do that. And, you know, it comes down to, you know, it was just poo-pooed, the whole thing. And you never hear, you know, if anything, on most of the news and the morning shows, they have these cooks come on that are making these dishes with sticks of butter and big ladles of olive oil and cheese and, you know, sausages and things. And everybody's are donuts and everybody's, you know, oohing and awing around that. And then, of course, the sponsors come up and it's going to some fast food, you know, restaurant. So, you know, nutrition never comes up on any of the networks, mainly because of the sponsors. And the other thing that never comes up is animal agriculture. You know, I mean, I saw an interview with Katie Couric and Carly Fiorino, and they talked about, you know, they were dancing around the question of climate change. And Carly Fiorino was saying that, well, we need innovations. And windmills aren't a good innovation because they kill birds that we like eagles. And I was like, it drove me insane. It's like, what do you mean birds that we like? So the millions and billions of chickens killed each year don't count. They're birds. The turkeys are birds. You know, so I mean, windmills kill eagles. And that's, you know, I mean, I love eagles and they're a beautiful bird. But, you know, is that the reason not to have windmills? And as far as climate change, animal agriculture never came up. You know, Katie Couric's first husband died of colon cancer. She's put on everybody should get a colonoscopy, but nobody's talked about nutrition and ways to prevent colon cancer. So it's very hard for the average public person and the average guy to realize that nutrition plays such a role when everybody in every, you know, aspect of their life is negating its effect. There's a great TEDx Friedmont talk I'll try to put in the show notes with Neil Barnard, and he's lecturing, it looks like a medical school class for the most part, but talking about, you know, how we can reverse diabetes, how we can reverse coronary artery disease, and, you know, looking at, you know, we were meant as humans, you know, we're omnivores, but for the most part, we're meant to be, we eat plants, you know, we don't have the teeth of a canine. And you know, he looked and he gave a couple funny comments. He's like the bunny test, you know, if you put a cat in front of a bunny, the cat's going to chase the bunny with the idea of eating the bunny every time. If you put the baby in front of the bunny, the baby will not try to eat the bunny. The baby will try to play with the bunny. So, you know, eating meat is really, you know, a learned behavior. And then the other thing he talked about was a box test, you know, and when you get a box of something in the little box bottom, there's this little bag of silica gel inside, and it says on the outside, do not eat. So he said, basically, you know, humans are very indiscriminate of what we put in our mouths, so that we have to be told, you know, what not to eat. You know, so it was pretty funny, but I encourage you to check that video out. So if you're going to make the commitment to change to be in plant-based nutrition, first of all, I commend you. It is a process. And if you fail or if you have a moment where you fall off the wagon, then get back on. Don't just give up. But, you know, keep at it and keep, you know, but make the commitment to first start cooking for yourself and your family in your home. take your kids shopping with you. You're not doing your children any favors by giving them the same poor quality nutrients that you're abusing yourself with. And if you're worried about your friends and going out, have them over to eat with you. You know, most people have friends that look like themselves. So if you're unhealthy and overweight, chances are your friends are unhealthy and overweight. And you don't have to really say, you know, you're overweight and unhealthy, and so you need to, so we need to change, so I'm going to cook for you. But just have them over and, you know, introduce them into some things that, that you're cooking. You know, I think, you know, this time of year, a great idea is to do shish kebabs that are on the grill, you know, with mushrooms and zucchini and peppers and pineapple and tomatoes, you know, over some whole grain. That's a great dessert. And, you know, melons and fruits are available, you know, to make a big fruit salad, you know. So that's a great thing to have people over. Hummus as, you know, an hors d'oeuvre, or fresh salsa, you know, with some vegetables. That's, you know, those are great, you know, great things to have, be, you know, as hors d'oeuvres. So it doesn't have to be fancy, but it can be nutritious, and there can be a lot of it so that people are full. One problem that comes up with kids with families is, what do you do at lunchtime? And I have to admit, when my daughter was in school, I did not enjoy packing lunch. I did pack lunch because most of the schools that she went with did not have a cafeteria. They actually ordered out fast food, which is, it's even worse now that I look back and think of it. But I, you know, I sent her with food. But as far as being plant-based, you know, what to do, you know, I think that, you know, the good old PB&J sandwich on Ezekiel bread is always an option. And a lot of foods the second day, like, in a, you know, that you have leftovers, you know, are good cold. You know, salads that are made with rice and beans and corn, you know, can go in a little Tupperware container for the kids. You know, if you, you know, some toasted little tofu cubes and vegetables are an option. You can make tuna fish out of chickpeas, you know, and do mashed chickpeas up with, you know, a little bit of veganese and, you know, mustard and dill and celery and make a chickpea salad sandwich. Again, hummus. That, you know, again, I prefer you make hummus yourself, because the other stuff has a lot of, or buy the ones without oil. But a hummus sandwich with vegetables is, and a hummus wrap. Those are things that can, you know, go good in a lunch. If you make a veggie pizza, they can always take that. You know, you can do a little bean burrito wrap that, you know, the kids can either microwave or, you know, even eat cold. Tofu egg salad is another thing that you can put in a pita. You know, beans, you know, a little bean salad also goes good, you know, and then you can have, you know, a little fruit bowl for them, you know, guacamole, and some in as a dip for people, pickles. You can make your own trail mix. Certainly, you know, applesauce is an easy thing to put in. Dried fruits, an easy thing to put in their lunch. So, you know, there are, you know, you kind of have to think outside the box a little bit, but you can, you know, even, you know, even if you got to the point where you're, you know, as a snack, better than, you know, cookies would be, a, you know, half of a Clif Bar, or, you know, a low oil, you know, vegan bar of some sorts, you know, as opposed to, you know, traditional cookies and things that are really, really oily. One of the dishes that we had this week was stuffed zucchini. So I, we had some big zucchini. It seems like at this time of year, the zucchinis are larger. So I cut them in half and took out the insides, and I took the insides and I sauteed them with mushrooms and onions and diced tomatoes and celery, and then put them back inside the, and some garlic, and put them back inside the zucchinis, and then put them on the grill for 10 minutes. And that was great. And then with that, we did that bok choy salad. And usually we do our bok choy salad with pomegranate seeds and mandarin oranges, but I didn't have an orange, but I had some really good organic grapes. So I put those in there. And that worked out fine. And the, you know, the dressing is lemon juice. And I sweeten it with a little bit of a agave, if need be. But that was our evening dinner. That was maybe a little bit different this week. I actually made a list of things that we eat, and I came up with 37 different entrees that we eat over the time period. But I have to admit that we probably eat. Well, we probably do burrito night, at least some Mexican food night once a night. We probably once a week, and we probably do a Thai dish once a week, and then and we might do some sort of veggie burger once a week, whether it's a beet burger or a Palma Hearts burger or a seitan burger, and then soups one night, and then things just the kind of soup varies a little bit. We do a greens and beans and sweet potato night, but the kind of beans and the kind of the kind of greens may vary a little bit. So it's not that different as far as the meals that we eat. So you don't need to make things quite so complicated in order for it to work. So I'd encourage you to just start simply, and the simplest dinner is greens, beans, and a potato and a big salad. So if you start that way. Then you can expand as you go from there. And don't be afraid to commit. I think that's the biggest thing. You commit to your friends, commit to your family, what you're going to do, that you're going to make a change. Because if you try to, like anything, you try to do it without telling anybody, it just doesn't work. It gives you license to not do it. So commit to this is the way it is. Commit that I'm doing this for my health. And, I hope that you'll support, you can ask them for their support. Your family's going to, and your friends are going to support you. Especially if you're not healthy. They want you to be healthy. They want you to be around. So you have the courage to commit to your friends that you want to change your ways. And certainly, if you have any questions, please email me at jamiedelaney@gmail.com. And check out my website. I'm trying to put recipes up there as much as I can. I'm trying to get a newsletter going. I've had a little bit of trouble with the site. But I'm working on it. All the podcasts are on the site. So, I encourage you to comment or send me suggestions that you'd like to hear or questions that you'd like to have answered. But I really do think that, this is the way to optimal health, and there's no reason to just go half the way, go all the way, and become healthy and eliminate your need for medications. Because people that live a long time don't usually live that way for on medications and all that other kind of stuff. You're better off to be active, be healthy, and eat whole plant-based foods and nutrient-dense foods and enjoy your life and sweat a little bit and push yourself. Try something new. It's okay. So until next time, run long and eat your veggies. Thank you.